Hebrews 2:9 says, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Consider your five senses: sight, hearing, smell, touch, and of course, taste. Out of those five senses, which one requires the most personal involvement? It's taste. Matter of fact, taste involves even some of the other senses as well: smell, sight, touch. Now picture, if you will, for a moment, a parent of a small child trying to get that child to eat a new food. Maybe different, difficult. And so what do? We tell them, well, it looks good. It smells good. It might even feel good. Is that really effective? No, usually what as parents we have to do, even if it's those strained peas or whatever, we taste them. And we tell them, look, here, I'll taste it myself. It's good. Now you try it. Now this may work and it may not, but we've at least improved our chances. And we've all experienced this as well. We have heard food cooking. We've smelled food cooking. We've seen food cooking, even from a distance. But to taste it, you have to get right up to it. You have to put it in your mouth. That being said, before the cross, Jesus had seen death's impact. He had heard the cries of those who lost friends and loved ones. He had touched the dead. He'd even smelled death. You might remember Martha, who wanted to avoid opening the tomb because of the smell of death of Lazarus. But at the cross, Jesus tasted death. He sank his teeth into it and experienced the full measure of its indescribable pain and horror. We might even compare Adam and Eve tasting the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which resulted into death, with Jesus tasting death at another tree, the cross. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.'" During the Lord's Supper, whenever we partake of these emblems, especially as we partake of the cup, it's representing Jesus' blood. And we should recall what Jesus prayed in Gethsemane concerning his approaching suffering and death. You remember the words, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me." We can get into the habit of partaking of the Lord's Supper pretty casually sometimes. But Jesus' anguish over his cup was so intense that it tells us that his sweat was like drops of blood falling on the ground. Luke 22:44. Yet, he still drank of that cup, every drop, so that we might drink the cup of blessing. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says this: "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the participation of the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not the participation of the body of Christ?" Christ tasted death for us. Father, we come before you once again to remember Jesus and that price that he paid. And Father, realizing that he experienced every part of it with all the senses of his body. He experienced the death, even to the point of tasting it for us. Even though he knew with every aspect that was coming of what he would experience, he still went through it. He took every thorn, every nail, every lash, every blow, every spit, every insult for us. And so, Father, we come before you to remember him and to examine ourselves and realize, Father, how thankful we are, how blessed we are, and Father, how needful we are for the body and the blood of Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.